We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Let's start tonight in the freaky state of Florida. Oh yeah, you know it. Listen to this. In Highland Beach, Florida, police there clocked a car going 57 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone. So obviously, the officers responded there. They started chasing this car. The car sped up to 65 miles per hour and then pulled off to the side and stopped in a nearby parking lot. You can imagine how surprised the cops were when they walked up, looked inside the car, and discovered there was no one inside. It was completely empty. They were puzzled by this, especially, however, when all of a sudden the car took off again and started making what they called rapid evasive maneuvers. And then it once again came to a sudden stop in a parking space. The police walked up to the car and saw it was still empty, just like some kind of a ghost car from a Stephen King novel. So the cops are looking all around this thing, and they found after 1 hour that in the back was a secret passageway, and there was a driver who was manipulating the car, and then when he would stop, he would slip into the trunk through the back seat. A 28-year-old man. So the ghost driver has now been arrested and charged with all kinds of things, including some drug possession. How about that? One of those paranormal stories that becomes normal. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Welcome and greetings from beautiful Asheville, North Carolina.
You know, I tell you, I feel so strange, so fittingly weird right now, Forrest, because after 10 years of doing Speaking of Strange, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I have ever actually hosted the show from a different location. And so I decided to just go all the way. And, of course, for those who are listening who may not know, you, Forrest, are sitting there in the studio in Asheville, North Carolina, at our flagship station, News Radio 570 WWNC. I, however, am sitting right now in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, out in the Atlantic Ocean, on the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico, and I'm here, of course, doing a great deal of research. We'll get to some of that in a minute, but we are hoping that we can hold everything together technically tonight. So it seems like we're doing pretty well so far, right, Forrest?
It does indeed.
And yeah, see, isn't this the miracle of technology? Just think how far I am out there, in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, and still we are able to bring the show together for all of the high strangers listening around the globe. And of course, it just wouldn't be the same at all. It would feel extra weird if we didn't also have joining us from the Asheville studio, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are you tonight, Shelley?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear you.
It's wonderful to hear you as well, and of course, not too long ago, you were right here with me in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yes. I miss Puerto Rico. Oh, and you too.
Well, thank you very much. I miss you. I miss everybody. The show has sort of been, you know, a staple for our entire community, and so we're delighted to be able to do this and give me an opportunity to bring some fresh, crazy stories back, because as synchronicity would have it, right when Shelley, you and I and our group came back to Puerto Rico recently in late April, there was this explosion, this new boon of paranormal activity here. I mean, chupacabra sightings shot through the roof. I mean, the kind of thing where, you know, there were people being interviewed saying, gosh, we thought that chupacabra was gone. You know, we hadn't heard anything from him in 10 years, and he's back now. But I tell you what makes this especially amazing for me. Of all the places for me to be right now, and of course you'd think if you go to Puerto Rico to work on some projects, you'd probably be around San Juan. I actually specifically chose this beautiful little beach and fishing village here on the southwest coast of Puerto Rico to be my headquarters. And so I'm sitting here in my lovely little complex, and life is good, and I had no idea when I chose this place that I had moved literally 10 minutes down the road from one of the top UFO hotspots in the entire world. And it's funny because when I first started coming here to Puerto Rico, I kept hearing stories about this lagoon somewhere on the island that was rampant with UFO activity. I mean, we're talking crashes. We're talking people seeing aliens running around at night. We're talking, USOs, which are the types that go in and out of the water. I mean, every type of weird thing you can imagine. But I wasn't sure exactly where it was. Turns out this lagoon called Laguna Cartagena is 10 minutes down the road from where I'm broadcasting right now. And there is so much activity there, so much that has been happening over the decades, if not the centuries, really, who knows, but certainly the decades, that on the highway right next to it, which is Highway 303, the government of Puerto Rico has placed an official sign. It's like it's a state sign there that says extraterrestrial highway. And it even has a little flying saucer icon on it. And that's pretty amazing because, you know, a lot of the folks in Puerto Rico are hesitant about discussing paranormal stuff. But around here, every other person you meet has seen some kind of UFO. So I am down here with Dean Worsing's third-generation night vision goggles, 10 minutes down the road from this incredible UFO hotspot. The kind of place where, you know, I had my picture taken, you have to have your photo made next to the extraterrestrial highway sign. We'll be sure to get that up there at speakingofstrange.com. So much activity has happened here that I am going to spend the second hour of tonight's show telling you guys about what I have learned, some fresh breaking material about this place, as well as a brand new sort of recap of the things that have happened here that you may not know about, and something that's even weirder, how all of this ties into the HARP project. You know what I'm talking about, the mind control, weather control, death ray, HARP project. So hour two's going to be a good one. My goodness. So I bet you guys want to know a little bit about what my life has been like down here.
Of course.
You bet.
Okay. Well, you know, I for those listeners who don't know, I will recap. You know, I came down here to work on a number of projects. I'm working on a TV project. I'm working on some books, doing a lot of research. And, of course, I also am hosting expeditions while I'm down here, similar to the one that Miss Wright recently went on. But, you know, the funny thing is, I'm going to make everybody jealous a little bit. When I'm not working, my typical day is kind of waking up when I want to. It's really nice and sunny and warm. It's like summer. I go outside. I swim for a little while. Then maybe I'll walk down to the Poblado, have a cold beer. Then I'll come back, you know, I'll write a little bit. And then I'll go out and I'll swim some more. And then I'll drink some rum. I mean, it's a really, really nice life. And I feel healthier than I have felt in a long time. And therefore, it's not surprising, I keep running into people who look very young, and as it turns out, they are extremely, well, I don't want to say extreme, they're a hell of a lot older than they look. And, of course, I think it's odd that the first governor of Puerto Rico was Ponce de Leon. And, in fact, Shelley, you remember you got to see his tomb when you were in the San Juan Cathedral. Remember that?
I remember.
Well, Ponce de Leon was an explorer from Spain who was just fascinated with this idea of the Fountain of Youth. And he was traveling all around this area trying to find it. In fact, as part of his quest, he discovered what is now the state of Florida. Well, I went recently to a local joint that's all homegrown, good home cooking, and a lot of locals there. Trust me, I'm brushing up on my Spanish. But anyway, I met a guy, and we start talking about how much better you feel when you're here. And the guy said to me, "Take a guess how old I am." And I said, "Well, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Do you really want me to be straight?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, I think you're 64 years old." He says, "I'm 80 years old." I said, "No way." The guy takes out his wallet, pulls out his driver's license, and shows it to me. The guy's 80 years old. I figured that he was probably younger than 64, but that, I felt that was a safe bet. It was so impressive, I pulled Lauren over. I said, "Lauren, don't pull any punches. How old do you think this guy is?" And I think she said 62 or 63. She saw the driver's license, couldn't believe it. That scenario has repeated itself over and over and over here. So, you know, is there a fountain of youth? Maybe there is some kind of mega fountain of youth somewhere, and it's just sort of trickling into the water around here. And if you find the mega fountain of youth, you get to live to be 200 or something. But it's pretty wild when you meet people who look that young. The guy looks so young compared to his actual age that I had my photograph made with him. So that's good news. But I'll tell you something else. You've probably heard me talk about these monkeys on the island. They're freak. They're mutant monkeys. And they are... They are the product of a science experiment gone wrong. It's like something out of a bad sci-fi movie. Well, I have some new information for you about these monkeys and some other weird stuff on the island, but I see we're coming up on our first break here. So when we return, I will tell you about the monkeys and the other weird stuff that I'm discovering here, and then you would not believe the strange news that has been building up over the past few weeks. We're going to dig into it all because this is the show where we talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. It's a big one tonight. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back. This is Speaking of Strange.
Illuminati, a secret society do exist. Illuminati, Illuminati, a secret society do exist. Illuminati, we'll be right back. a secret society do exist. Illuminati.
From the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, hitchhiking Puerto Rico's extraterrestrial highway, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. You know, when I was doing the show Paranormal Paparazzi last year on the Travel Channel, I even did a segment about a group of people in Florida who claim that there is a real fountain of youth, that it was sure enough discovered long ago, and that it is being protected by a secret society associated with the Illuminati. Those are the immortals who are now taking over the world. So is it any coincidence that I'm here now on the Isle of Enchantment where the quest for the Fountain of Youth began? I think not. But welcome back to Speaking of Strange. Again, I'm broadcasting here out of Puerto Rico. We have Forrest Connor and Shelley Wright in the Asheville studio. And before the break, I was mentioning the monkeys here. Now, you see, one thing that you have to realize about Puerto Rico, which is something we're going to especially dig into a lot the next hour of tonight's program, is that because this is not a state, and it has this sort of ambiguous status, legally speaking, a lot of controversial government activity and experimentation has taken place here over the years. As a matter of fact, up until, just a few years ago, there was nuclear testing being done on this island, right in an area called Vieques, where people lived. I mean, it was just mind-boggling. It's just, you know, hard to imagine that that type of testing was going on. I guess I meant that this was probably at the most 10 years ago when they stopped doing the testing. But the testing that takes place in Puerto Rico is so odd. Much of it is still not fully documented. And in the 1930s, there were some monkeys that were brought here. I think they were brought here from India. And the monkeys were taken to an island called Parguera. And there was a laboratory there. And the U.S. scientists were doing some kinds of experiments on the monkeys. Now, to this day, I have never talked to anybody or found anything official about what exactly type of experiment they were doing. There's no telling. But they did these experiments for maybe 15 or so years. You know, these were rhesus monkeys. And then inevitably, as it always happens in, you know, the Jurassic Park-type films, some of these monkeys escaped from the lab. And once the genie was out of the bottle, there was no putting it back. For a long time, the monkeys just thrived on the island and literally took it over. I mean, locals here called it Monkey Island, and they would go by on their boats, and, you know, it was a freakish attraction to see this island with all these monkeys that had taken it over. But eventually, one of the monkeys, or one or more of the monkeys, cross the water. And so now you have these monkeys that are living in various parts of Puerto Rico. Now, another thing I didn't realize is that the same town, Lajas, where the UFO lagoon is, I was telling you about, Laguna Cartagena, is where Parguera is. Parguera, this little island, is a part of Lajas. So are you beginning to see the connections here? All the UFO activity is happening in the same place where these monkeys escaped. So, and again, all this is like 10 minutes down the road for me. So I keep running into people who have seen these monkeys. Now, the monkeys themselves are, they say they're skittish. It's difficult to get a glimpse of one. I still have not seen one, but I know they're around here. They travel in big tribes or packs or whatever the heck you call a bunch of monkeys, a bunch of bananas. But what I think is so startling is that once I started talking to some of the locals, the real natives here, and I was asking them what these monkeys look like, they told me these monkeys are 5 feet tall. And I was like, oh, come on. Yeah, I thought they were pulling my leg. I thought this was, you know, I'm the new gringo in town.
and they're trying to freak me out and tell me there are five. But no, it's true. Everybody swears that it's true. These monkeys are 5 feet tall, okay, and they're orange, and they have sort of a white section going down their middle. And I'm thinking, you know, if I step outside my condo here late at night to enjoy the occasional cigarette, and I turn and there's a 5 foot monkey standing there, it's going to be a little unsettling. I'm going to probably have something akin to a Bigfoot experience. I mean, what did you realize they were that big, Forrest?
I didn't.
I mean, am I really a little too sensitive, or is this actually kind of a freaky thing to have a 5 foot tall monkey living next door? A bunch of them.
That'd be a little, yeah, it'd be a little freaky.
It would be freaky. It would.
So, but they say, fortunately, you know, they're very, very nice, if you will. They've never attacked anybody, but I did talk to a guy who said there was a big commotion in his backyard. It was actually in his father's backyard, and they went outside, and a monkey had killed their dog, killed the family dog. So that's pretty weird to think I'm living in a place with, you know, monkeys right next door. Also, I'll tell you something else. Of course, there are lizards around here, but in the 1950s, people started coming over here and bringing iguanas as pets and selling them. And same kind of thing. The iguanas, they escaped, or people threw them out or whatever. Now there are these giant, you know, giant as far as I'm concerned. You know, you're talking three, 4 foot long, you know, iguanas that are all over this island. And in fact, just 2 days ago, I woke up in the morning, I walked downstairs and looked over, and there's this, you know, big, huge green iguana just perched on my windowsill. A beautiful creature, really. And so these iguanas, something I didn't realize is that you go to certain places, and when the sun is in the right position of the sky, suddenly you'll see little green heads popping up in the treetops. These iguanas hang out in the tops of the trees.
That's so cool.
And they come out and sun themselves. Well, you know, Lauren heard this, and she's like, oh, my God, you know, an iguana's gonna jump down on my head. And nobody's ever said that an iguana has jumped on their head, but you got to be careful of the coconuts around here, I understand. You could get killed by a coconut. There was a guy just a few weeks ago who had a coconut fall on his windshield and just bashed the whole thing out. So that'd kill you. You don't want to be the guy who gets hit by the coconut. That would suck. But anyway, next thing on the list. Now, did you know, Forrest, that there are mongooses here?
No.
And now, Shelley, you probably remember when we were in the rainforest, there is a sign there that says, beware small Indian mongoose. Do you remember that sign?
I do remember the sign.
Now, what happened was around, I'm thinking like 100 years ago, maybe not that long ago, they brought Indian mongooses over here to kill rats and snakes in the sugarcane fields. And they began to thrive, and now they are a nuisance here. So are you seeing a pattern here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, hundreds of years ago, you didn't have any large mammals here. You know, you had some birds, and I think, like, the only mammals that are indigenous were bats, and that was about it. Now, however, you know, you got monkeys running around, you got these giant iguanas, you got mongooses. These are all things that people bring over here that just take to the environment, and now I hear they're having a problem on one part of the island with caimans. These, you know, little alligators are beginning to thrive. So this literally is like Jurassic Park. I mean, this is the perfect environment for all these creatures to thrive. And you know how sometimes you hear stories about the chupacabra, and people say it looks kind of like kind of a hunched creature with spines running down its back? Well, think if you were to mesh a monkey with an iguana, is it possible that the chupacabra in some cases is some kind of freak created by the science here? I don't know. We're coming up on another break. When we come back, I want to tell you about another thing that's popular here, another creature, cocks. They cockfight here. And, of course, you know, wherever I go, I got to eat something weird. So we'll get to that and a few other things before we dig into some weird news. This hour, well, it's going to fly right by. Heck, the whole show is. It's just chock full of freaky weird goodness. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual, and it's called Speaking of Strange.
Easy no, no need to go down. Drop that run, that this how we frown. Easy no, no need to go down. Easy no, no need to go down. Drop that run, that this how we frown.
Almost historic edition of the program, because again, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've done something you might call a remote broadcasting myself here from Puerto Rico, while Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright are in the Asheville studio. And my goodness, there's so much to talk about on the show. A lot of weird stuff that's been happening, but I do want to make a little announcement here. Something I think all of you will find fascinating before I get back into my next topic, which I think is cockfighting. as you know, I'm working on a lot of projects down here, and one of them is a book project, which it's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I'm taking this opportunity to do it. I'm working on literally three books right now, and so this is one of the three. And this is one that all of you can participate in, because I started writing books when I was a teenager, around 14 or 15. You know, I had great support from my parents and a lot of inspiration to go out and, you know, get involved early on. Very thankful for that. And so I think by the time I was about 18, I'd already published three books. And my third book was called Speaking of Strange. And that was an anthology. I decided I was going to go out and just collect a lot of weird stories about a variety of subjects from all over my region in Western North Carolina. And people were, they responded very quickly, and I got all kinds of amazing stories, put them together with illustrations, a little commentary, and made this book called Speaking of Strange. And the book did very well, which of course is one of the reasons the name stuck, and the show is called Speaking of Strange. I had a lot of fun with that. And I thought over the years about trying to do a similar type of book now that I'm a little older, I have a wider reach, and maybe do something on a more global scale. So I am in the process of putting a book together called Creepy Little Tales. And this is going to be an anthology of stories from all around the world that are relatively short. No story can be more than about one page long. We'll say a few paragraphs to one page. And I'm looking for stories from all of you related to ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, cryptids and interdimensional beings, ESP and psychic stuff, synchronicity, spirituality. The main thing is I'd like for each story, of course, it's got to be true, and I'd like for the story to sort of end by giving you goosebumps, giving you that little chill down your spine. And so if you, and you can write one of these stories, it could be as short as you want, but no longer than, you know, a few paragraphs. If you send me a story and I use it in the book, and by the way, you don't have to be a good writer, because I'll edit it and polish it and maybe even, you know, embellish it a little bit, whatever. But if you send me a good story and I use it, then I will at very least send you a signed copy of the book when it's finished, and I'll probably throw in some other goodies, because you all know what a wonderful guy I am. So if you want to contribute to this, I'm going to be collecting stories here for a little while. Go to creepylittletales.com, creepylittletales.com, and send me your story. You can submit it right there. We have a little form where you can put your information, write your story, hit submit, and maybe we'll use it. I'm willing to bet, Shelley Wright, that you have a story you could probably contribute to Creepy Little Tales.
Funny, I was just thinking that. I have a few to choose from.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can give you your own chapter. We'll just have the Shelley Wright chapter.
Oh, I like it.
And Forrest, I know you've talked about writing some.
Right, I've got a couple stories I've compiled over the years that I might submit a couple to you if you would like.
Absolutely, I would love it. So, and you know, do it tonight. You know, whenever, just go, whatever, after the show, get on there, go to Creepy Little Tales. The website's very simple, very easy. What do you think, guys? Is this a pretty cool idea?
Yes,
I like it.
Does it have to be G-rated?
No, not at all. Not at all. We'll have our little X-rated version for a few extra dollars, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
That's the one you have to special order in the little downstairs bookshop with the shady guy. You know, I used to be that dude. I started out as the special orders guy at the bookstore. And we'll see if we can get a link also at speakingofstrange.com. Mind you, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, there's a live chat during the show as well. So I am sort of associated in some people's minds with cockfighting. And that's because that I made a movie when I was about 19, a comedy called Inbred Rednecks, and it was about a bunch of country boys who cockfight. And cockfighting is pretty popular here in Puerto Rico. Do you know it's illegal here? Did you guys realize that?
It is.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's perfectly legal. I mean, you'll be going down the road, and you'll just pass some arena with a bunch of big, you know, cocks painted on the side of it. And you can go in there, and apparently you can, you know, bet on, you know, this side or that side. And I'm thinking to myself, I know that there are people who say, oh, this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. You know, you should never go into a place like that and be a part of this. I'd be curious just to go in and see what a legal cockfighting rink looks like. But I've heard that you don't want to go in there without having some folks that you know, because it's, you know, there's a lot of money floating around and emotions can run high, and it can be kind of a scary place. But I thought that was interesting that there are there's legal cockfighting here. Now there are plenty.
Now there's a movie out there that that might sell great down there on the Isle of Enchantment, Joshua.
You know, I never thought about that. I'm afraid if that movie gets released down here, then I might get kicked out of the island.
True.
There's so many iguana around here. I keep asking people, can you eat an iguana? Because everybody's eating chickens. I've eaten a ton of chickens down here. Can you eat iguanas? Well, yeah, you can eat iguanas. People don't usually do it. I've heard some people say iguanas taste terrible, that they taste like grass, which, you know, I don't know. I've never been eating grass either. But then other people say they're really good. But it's the sort of thing you got to dig deep and you got to find a local who's willing to go out and, you know, hunt an iguana down. And eventually I hope to eat an iguana just to test it out, just to have a weird story. But I did eat a cow heart the other day. So, you ever eaten a cow heart?
Yes.
No.
Yeah?
I have.
So what did you think, Forrest? What was your experience
very
like?
Almost like a very irony type taste. Blood rich taste, like very high in iron is what it tasted like to me.
Well, you know, I was expecting it to taste kind of livery, but I actually ate this at a Peruvian restaurant, and they really knew what they were doing, and it was extremely tender, and it was quite tasty. I was amazed. I didn't think it was going to be that good. So that's the weirdest thing I've eaten here so far.
How was it prepared?
I'm not sure exactly how they prepared it, but it was presented as sort of a shish kebab.
Okay.
Yeah, it looked a lot like a pincho. You know what a pincho is, Forrest?
No.
I know Shelly does. You had a pincho, Shelly.
Oh, it was very, very delicious.
Man, I live off of pinchos down here.
Was it prepared like flap steak, maybe?
Flap steak. back in the Scottish Highlands. The pincho is a meat. Now, it can be any kind of meat, but it's most often chicken, but you can get shark or you know, beef or whatever. And shark pinchos are really good, but it's sort of a grilled, we'll say chicken, also on a skewer, like a shish kebab, and they slather it with special sauces, a lot of times like a special type of barbecue sauce, and they serve it to you like from roadside stands. With a big fluffy piece of bread, and it's like $2. So I literally go down to the Poblado every Friday, and I hand them a $20 bill and walk out of there with 10 pinchos and, you know, eat pinchos all week. I love them so much. I'm a pincho whore. and yet, you know what? I realized you got to be careful, because when you've got 10 pinchos in your fridge and you stumble down there late at night and you're like, I'm going to have a late night snack, and you reach in there, ooh, next thing you know, you got what I call the pincho stigmata. And I punched a hole in my hand.
Oh, be careful.
I punched a hole in my hand with the pincho. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back here, I'm going to tell you about the attack that took place. I was attacked by an animal down here. What on earth could it have been? I will explain when we return. Broadcasting from the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Well, my name's Conley Pettum. That goes sailing somewhere.
hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. So far, so good with our remote technology. And, hey, you know, if I sound a little weird, if things are a little choppy once in a while, it's because I'm in the Bermuda Triangle. You're going to hear a lot more about that in the next hour of the show when I give you the scoop on all of the weird stuff that's been happening around here, especially at the Laguna Cartagena, the UFO lagoon, which is practically right next door. And of course, hey, it's almost June. But don't forget, you can go to hauntedashville.com. Our ghost tours are raging now. We've got the trolley tours, we've got the walking tours, the vampire and occult tour, hauntedashville.com, and come check out the museum, especially if you've never seen Art Bell's Alien. You got to see that. Before I get back to telling you guys about my experiences here in Puerto Rico, there's this weird story from China. Apparently, something very strange started oozing out of the streets in the Chinese city of Nanjing. This just happened about a week ago. They say that it looked like a form of a giant B-movie monster, but a whole lot smellier. Pedestrians began to notice that the pavement there began to crack and split open, and this foamy, white, gooey, blobby substance was spewing from the cracks. Within a short time, it had spread to a 50-meter radius. It was a foot high. They were roping it off. Nobody has any idea what this is or if it's dangerous. Very odd, and I'm reading this, and it reminds me of an experience that I had. I went snorkeling recently and to just a beautiful, beautiful little island. And I love getting up close to the mangrove trees. There's a nice embankment there, and you can kind of get up under the roots, and you'll see all kinds of bizarre, funky fish, and just some things that I've seen some things that are so beautiful, I can't even describe what they look like. It's like some kind of painting where the rays of sun are coming in through the water, and the water has just a hint murky, and there are these giant fish, schools of fish swimming towards you, and these roots are twisting down to the water. I mean, it's just incredible. So anyway, I'm going through looking at some of these root structures, and all of a sudden, I started feeling like that my legs were getting kind of itchy. And at first, I thought it was maybe my imagination. Couldn't explain why that my legs were feeling like tickly and itchy. And then, I just kind of blew it off. And then later, I got out of the water, and I felt this sort of a slight sting, if you would, on my left side. And I looked down, and I had like a big red welt that was starting to come up. And I thought to myself, well, this looks like some kind of jellyfish sting. But I never saw a jellyfish or anything along those lines. And it wasn't horrible. I mean, it wasn't like I was in extreme pain. It was just kind of like maybe 10 times worse than mosquito bite. But it looked pretty nasty. And I was concerned because I was like, man, what if something really horrible got me here and, I'm going to have some reaction and die. But turns out it never got worse than that, and I started doing some research, and sometimes when you get up underneath these mangrove banks, they say that there is indeed a type of jellyfish, and it will sit down underneath some of the structures under the bank, but it's got kind of this like mucus that sort of oozes out of it, and it's a transparent, gooey substance. And if you happen to be swimming near the jellyfish, when you start to get into this mucusy substance, you'll start to feel that kind of itchy, tingly sensation on your flesh. Now, that's actually good because that means you need to get out of there. But I didn't know that. And so I didn't have like a jellyfish come up and sting me, but something, I must have hit something more substantial in that goo. Maybe there was a stinger or whatever. So, you got to be careful of little things like that. But otherwise, nobody I've talked to can remember a shark attack or anything severe that's ever happened around here. But you ever heard of like getting a sensation like that from a jellyfish goo, Forrest?
I have. They say even like dead jellyfish that wash up on the shore, like, for days afterwards can still sting you like that, even though they're not recognizable as a jellyfish. They're just sort of jellyfish dead remnants.
Yeah. It's definitely bizarre. Well, gosh, okay, it's almost time for our next break, and I'll be keeping you guys updated on things. I went recently to Arecibo, and there are some great caves up here called the Kamui Caves, where a lot of people think there is an underground base for UFOs. I've met a lot of people around here who have connections to Washington, D.C. and Maryland. A lot of government weirdness happens here on the island of Puerto Rico. When we come back from this break, I'm going to explain why some of that may exist here. It may be because, well, this is one of the biggest UFO and USO hotspots on planet Earth. What the heck has been happening here? How does it all relate to the HAARP project? I will explain soon. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange, and hour number two will begin right after this.